all. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is Ralph Kermit Winterow, the second with the Ralph Winterow Show, and Mark Mays out of still in Oklahoma?
Yeah, still in Oklahoma.
Got power down there?
Well, yeah, we've had power. Actually, I never lost power. We had a few that they were doing rolling blackouts for an hour and a half, and they switched the power back on. But we're on a 14-state power grid, where Texas is mostly independent on their power system. So
Texas,
yeah,
isn't tied into the other grids?
Well, you know, I've read articles that say that they're independent, but yet I think if you remember the Enron scandal, they were selling energy to other states. So I'm not quite sure how that went.
Well, I hope they hang some politicians or somebody, because the bottom line is coal is clean. They use scrubbers, SO3 injections. They use precipitators. I worked in that industry for 20 years. It has something called spinning reserve, where you have a 500-megawatt generator online. Maybe it's only putting out 200. You need more power. You just crank a little more steam in, change the flux on the generator, and voila! 300 megawatts.
Yeah.
Can you do
they're
that
not running
with
at
a
full capacity.
Solar panel? No. Can you do that
no.
with this wind nonsense? When you get through the nope. plate, you can't do anything with them.
No.
And they don't
nope.
last.
But can't really do that with nuclear either.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't think you can do that with nuclear plants either. I think that's quite a complex process to get them to have any kind of spin up of additional power.
They can. They do have spinning reserve, but not like coal
does. Do they? Right. Or natural gas.
Natural gas has spinning reserve if you got a big enough generator. But when I was in the business, the big generators were all coal fired. They weren't natural gas. Were smaller communities. Smaller stuff. Like up in Alaska, we got all kinds of little natural gas generators running around, putting around out in these villages, or they're diesel.
Right.
Some upper diesel.
But, what's interesting is back when they first started doing the scrubbers on the coal plants, after they got those implemented, about 2 years later, the farmers were having to change some of the amendments that they add to their soil, because there used to be, prior to the scrubbers, you'd have a little bit of acidic rain, which actually benefited the farmers, the large crops. But after they put the scrubbers on, the farmers had to start adding, working on the pH balance of their farming soil. So those scrubbers that we use are incredibly clean. Just
incredibly. The thing is, they're trying to get it down to make it, though. They start off with a false premise that they're putting stuff in the air that's modifying the earth.
Right.
That's a crock of smoke. That's BS.
Right.
When you start off with a false premise and then go from there, this is what lawyers do. They get into a lawsuit, they create a false premise, and then they get you to chase your tail down that false premise.
Yep.
And
they have an ulterior motive, and that is to really clamp down on the use of coal and to make everybody think that, well, we have, it's man-made global warming. Yeah, we got climate change, and we've had climate change thousands of years before we ever had any kind of industrialization. But now they're trying to, basically control everybody's life because of weather and pollution and so forth. So it's just another mechanism of control.
Well, I have on my homepage, global warming swindle. Conclusively, scientifically proven, it's the sunspots and the cloud cover. Those control the thing. And then as a result, not as the cause, because the ocean stores the most CO2, if the temperature rises due to sunspots and cloud cover, then there is an increase in CO2, but it is the result of an increase in temperature. It has nothing to do with the initial cause. And I don't understand why these facts are so hard to get out to get people to believe them. I mean, you watch the movie, though, and you say, well, there's no money. if we don't have global warming. So we have to create the fear, and then everybody puts all the money into it, and we're chasing a lie.
Right. Well, that's how they also create power, is when they start coming up with these ridiculous carbon credits. And if you want to continue polluting, then you got to pay. And if you're not a big polluter, then you can sell your carbon credits to somebody else. It's just a way for some. It's a scam for people to make money.
And enslave.
Well, I should say the people in power to make money.
Both of us are polluting the air right this minute.
Well, that's a good question.
We're talking.
Yeah, that just goes into the big black hole.
Right. I mean, you just can't make this up. Like I say, when I saw old Al Gore's thing and he put them cooling towers on there that were putting water vapor in as though it's pollution, I said, oh, God, is he playing to a stupid audience? And nobody calls him out for it.
Yeah, and I even double-checked on that, Ralph. I was driving by one of our local natural gas power plants the other day, and just like you're saying, that they have the big cooling towers that they cool the water, and this particular one has a big lake that once they cool the water, they dump it in the lake and it gets circulated back around, and then they bring fresh water in or cool water in to where they heat it up again. So pretty interesting.
Well, the thing is coal is reliable. We got hundreds of years of it, and it's cheap. And it works.
Right.
So everything they're doing today is against all logic, against all common sense. It's out to destroy us, to put these global communists in power, and these other bankers are all in bed together, and the Islamists, the ones that want to get around and make us buy a prayer rug. These guys are all in bed together. It's a war against Christians. God help them.
Well, I'm kind of curious. You know, we've been talking about regulations. If you, say, are in Oklahoma and you want to go ahead and build a power plant, whether it be coal burning or not, and if that electricity strictly stays in Oklahoma, how does the federal government have any say in what you do?
Well, that's a good question, because it's all tied into the grid, Joel, just like when I was in Wyoming. First of all, I was the electrical foreman or working foreman of the biggest powerhouse in Colorado, was Cherokee, back in the 60s. And I left there in 72. Then I went to Wyoming and I worked on a 1,500 megawatt. They had 3,500 megawatt generators, and that's a lot of power. And they had 245,000-volt lines running to Oregon and California and Washington for their clean power. I'm not kidding you. That was Pacific Power and Light. And there are hundreds of years of coal in Wyoming. God, the machines they use they're like in the movie Avatar, or if you ever been, these trucks and the things that dig this coal, I mean, these things are monsters, and it's clean. So why wouldn't we use it? It's so illogical.
So what if you weren't part of a power grid? Let's say Texas is truly independent, and I think they might be. They don't connect to anybody else's power grid. I think the panhandle of Texas does, but the majority of Texas has their own independent power grid. So if Texas wanted to build a power plant somewhere, does the EPA really have a say-so in whether they can build that plant or not?
Oh, I'm sure they do by some means. And the bottom line is, I used to work and I'd be up at the control room and we could see where outages would go, and everybody would crank up on the grids and put the power in until they get back up again, you know, till that whatever brought that generator down. And they went through this initially, Cherokee, back in the early 1960. And one of these coal-fired plants, when it goes down, has to have power to go to get on board again. So they bought some great big monstrous diesel generators, 2 minutes from flat out online. God, do they make a noise, and boy, do they pollute the air for a second with black smoke. But I'm telling you what, they bring it on so they can safely shut down stuff And so also they have power so that an isolated power plant can get started, because once it has to have something to get it moving. And once it gets moving, then it's self-sustaining and it can just start cranking up. But they, Public Service Company of Colorado, they're long gone now. But they ran into that in the early 1960s. But they fixed that problem so that if they ever get totally cut off from the grid, a coal-fired plant can get online and bring it up. Number one, if Texas is like that, you have to, if you're going to be so stupid, and I say stupid is to do solar and this wind stuff, you have to have enough spinning reserve in your grid to cover the loss of those. That's just logic. And the bottom line is, how do people think that the power amount needed varies tremendously from different times of the day and in the night? What? How do they? They don't turn these coal-fired generators off. All they do is change the flux and put less steam in them. And it's called spinning reserve. And this is your safety net. And you cannot use wind or solar because there's no safety net. Those damn things either work or they don't. That's not right. The way coal-fired plants work. They're online and they're almost never at 100% capacity. There's always something left there.
Well, I think the bottom line is people need to be thinking about that in the future and just realize they're going forward. You're not going to be able to just rely on energy to be delivered to you. And so with whatever means you have of trying to put together some type of generation for your home, you really need to be thinking about that.
Well, if we have coal fired, I'll tell you, it's a hell of a lot super, super reliable. Anytime you inject this other nonsense, you're wasting. Number one, it costs more money, which I don't know why people would do it. What really made me irritated in Wyoming, because we had wind up there. We have those generators killing eagles. They go out there and I can't pick up one feather. But killing the eagle, we don't talk about that. But we're over there on the other side. Oh, we got an environmental thing. We need to save the eagles. Why don't you walk out there to the damn wind farm and take a look at what you're slaughtered? But we can't talk about that. It's illogical. I don't know. We have something safe, and it works. And we've got hundreds of years of it, and it's cheap, and it's reliable. So why don't we use it? I don't know.
And we're letting China and India can do all the coal power that they want to do, and they're not even using scrubbers. They're just pumping it right on out into the atmosphere. Some places are so bad in China that you have to wear a face mask or you won't be able to breathe.
My neighbor right across the road here from me, just a little about 150 feet, he went to China and he said the eyes burned over there in some of those cities. It's so bad, the pollution.
Yeah.
Anyways, on to another issue. George Floyd. Now, he's going on trial. The cop supposedly
got a caller? Murder.
Right? Oh, I didn't see we have one here. We got something. Let's see here. Okay, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I'm off the subject there. The music you play when you're coming on air and you go on break, how do I go get that?
I'm sorry, what?
The music you play when you go on air?
What's the name of that song, Ralph, that we... Yeah, I can hear you.
You want to know the name of the first song that comes on?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll send it to you. Hold on a minute. I got to go look it up. It's been a while. It was in a movie, and that's really a great movie. And the darn thing, I looked the other day, and I can't believe they wanted $37 for this movie. I just could not believe that they would want that much money. Hold on just a minute. I will get it, the actual name of it here. It's Soldier Boy.
Soldier Boy.
Is the name of the movie. Do you know what the name of that song is?
Yeah, Soldier Boy for me. And I put the person that down that sang it, but she's, I think, from France or something. But she's a sings a lot of those type of songs. But if you want a copy of it, just send me an email at IRS at Alaska. Minuteman.com, and I'll send you an MP3.
Okay, I appreciate it very much.
You bet.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really like that song. I like that type of beat, too. So, anyway, this George Floyd thing, how do you convict a cop, anybody, for murder? I have a copy of the official autopsy that was performed. It says there was no injuries to his neck. Zero, zip, nada. None. And I talked to somebody that used to be in the police. He said they used to hold people down up around there by their knee or their head, up the neck, because that, if you can control that, you control the person. And it's not that they're choking them. And then I have on my home page videos, this guy, before he got out of the his vehicle, he was saying, I can't breathe. And he was saying when he's out, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And then in the autopsy, he has three times the lethal dose of fentanyl. He was dying. Now, how do you charge a policeman for murder? How's that work, Martin?
Well, it's all about social positioning. You know, it's you've got a district attorney who is not going to look at the facts and go ahead and bring a charge of murder against somebody, just so they look good in the public eye.
He'll get off. He should. I'd like to be able to monitor that. Unfortunately, all I have is PACER, which is federal, and that's probably done in a Chicago or in a state court, so don't have any access to the documents. I'd like to see the jury instructions. I'd like to, if they submit the autopsy, how do, it's like the Oklahoma bombing. Back in a minute.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, we're back here, and how does that work? If you have a official autopsy, that document is official, and it says there's nothing wrong with the neck, and he had 3 times the lethal dose of fentanyl. How do you? I just don't know how you're going to pull that off in a court. How do you do that?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, they're going to try. It's never stopped the government from falsely trying to convict somebody.
Well, you watch. If they bring that in, then we got Black Lives Matter, formed by 3 Marxists that are laundering money and getting about 70% of that money after they laundered themselves. And these people, I saw there's Black Lives Matter out there. It ain't got nothing to do with the blacks, nothing at all. What is wrong with people?
I don't know. You know, it's the narrative is controlled by the media, and they're going to make it look, you know, it was all about making the police look bad and defund the police, and the police are racist. Which is, you know, proven not true. Statistically, if you look at the numbers of people that are shot by police, the majority is not black. They're not African American. So, but the way they play it up, and it's all about the race politics that they're dividing. Every race that they can. I mean, they're trying to figure out how to divide our country up to keep everything apart. If the American people got together and saw what was really going on and what's being done to us as a whole nation, you know, I don't think they'd stand for it. But as it is now, you've got one group fighting another based on gender, based on your skin color, based on your religion. And they got the whole United States more divided than ever. And anything they can do to continue pushing that narrative and further divide the country, they are doing it.
What we have is these people that are Democrats is a party of Satan, because they absolutely love killing children right up until they're born. Even after they're born, they'll vote lock, stock, and barrel supporting it. They want to open up our borders totally wide open and bring in people with all kinds of diseases, and they're bringing in drugs. They're slave trading. They're trafficking in people, young men and girls and boys, and they're supporting this. Nobody in his right mind would do this unless you're evil. You just can't do that. Bringing in MS-13, these people out of, I think they're out of Ecuador. MS, I saw the other day what that stood for. Some of the meanest people in the world. Evil, pure evil. And we're just opening the door saying, y'all come on in. Or if you're in jail, y'all just get out and go out here, and we'll drop you off in some community, and you ain't got nothing to say about this? It's just literally, just can't make it up. It just shocks the conscience. I don't know.
Well, they've got to bring America down to join into a new world order. I mean, they're going to, you know, on top of all of this social unrest that they're creating, is that, you know, the finance the financial situation that we're in, you look at some of the insiders, you'll never hear them talk about this on mainstream media. I call them the lamestream media because, you know, as we discussed last week, they're bought and paid for either by advertisers pushing all their drugs, prescription drugs, and then the government pays them money to toe the line and to push the government narrative. But these trillions of dollars that they continue pumping into the economy is devaluing the dollar. And I'm just letting everybody know, mark my words, by summer, we're really going to start seeing some inflation kick in and food prices are going to really start going up. So if you got the wherewithal to maybe start buying a little extra groceries and set it on your shelf and rotate through it, you might be pretty well served. Or if you've been thinking about starting a garden, you know, to help offset your food costs, this would be a good time to do it.
Well, I'll tell you, we're under siege, and something that I'm going to be doing, I've got to get this agency thing through, and I'm going to work on that, and then I'm going to show you why this Voter Registration Act, this H.R. 1, is so, I'm going to get questions to put out to go ask your senators and your representatives. I think I'll do that first instead of doing the APA and that, because I'm doing a really right down to the nitty gritty on the Administrative Procedures Act and the Federal Register Act, because all agencies talk only through regulations. But I looked at this voter registration thing they're trying to do, H.R. 1. Now, the first thing that I look at, you always, anytime you look at this stuff, first of all, I had to unlock it because the one I got off the internet, of course, is locked. So I just turn it into a TIFF and put it all back in and OCR it, make it a PDF. Always look at the definitions. Start always. Because they always, what you think you know in their definitions is not going to be so. Now, what do we see in this definition here that starts off? They say the term state in quotation marks, and anytime you put anything in quotation marks, if it's more than one word, that phrase goes together. You can't take a word out of that phrase. And it says means. Anytime you use the word means, it's the exclusive use. When they got that term, state in quotation mark means. Okay, so what that says is when they use the capital S state means, that's what this is, a whole new meaning. It has nothing to do with constitutional law, has nothing to do with dictionaries. This is for what they're doing, period. It says means each of the several states and the District of Columbia. Now, this may not mean much to most people, because I wasn't taught this when I was in school. I was pretty smart. I was. I'm bragging. I was. I paid attention. They don't teach you what's wrong with that statement. Several states and is a conjunction. It joins something of like types, right? And that's a conjunction. It's not an or. It's an and. So anything you see in the state, it applies to both the several states and the District of Columbia. So how do we use this? Oh, God, I love this. I love nailing these people with their own stuff. First of all, the several states are totally unique to the District of Columbia. The District of Columbia is the headquarters of the government of the United States. It is not one of the several states. So the question becomes, first of all, why are you joining the several states with the District of Columbia? So you want to start off on a premise. I got to pull up the case here that's got this in it, but I know so much about this by heart because I've researched it out. This bill that they're trying to get through is only for citizens of the United States. So we got two problems. They're combining the several states and the District of Columbia. Now, I went on Breitbart, and I looked at some of their stuff. They've got some issues there, but they don't get to they don't get to what's really going on. Because the other thing you will find in this, which is the same as the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, which is still in effect and would still be, it's only for federal offices. So let's apply a little logic here. And then we'll get into the how to kill these people with questions. If I go to sign up to vote today, I got to be a citizen of the United States somewhere. It's in there, guaranteed. There's a couple say citizens of the United States of America, but you still got to be a citizen of the United States somewhere. I guarantee it's without exception. Why do I have to? Okay, so if I am a citizen of the United States, I am going to take that as true. So I go to the District of Columbia. What citizenship status exists in D.C.? Any idea, Mark?
Well, I would think it would be... Well, I would believe it would be a United States citizen.
No, it would be a citizen of the United States. That is the only status. And it is a qualified elector also. You are a qualified elector is a citizen of the United States in the District of
Columbia. What's the definition of United States then?
That is the, okay, are you saying the citizen of the United States for a citizen or for
yeah, what? So if for a citizen of the United States, if you look at that phrase, what are they referring to as the United States?
That is the government of the real one.
Okay.
That's the real one. And the reason why we know that, which I'm going to get to, which is a good question, I got to get to, this is in the code. This is in the District of Columbia code. It says a citizen of the United States is a qualified elector as a citizen of the United States. I got to look up the, I got to find the Moody's case here so I can give the cite. But this is a fact. Are there any citizens of the several states in D.C.? No. Do you know that the 14th Amendment has no application to the District of Columbia? Supreme Court said so. Why? Because it's only about the people of the, it's only about the actors in the several states and the laws in the several states. It has nothing to do with District of Columbia. That's just the beginning of the problem.
Well, isn't the District of Columbia a federal territory?
No, it's a municipal entity since 1872, I think it was they did that, or 1870. It's a municipality. Okay. Municipal entity. Okay? But herein
a totally independent municipality.
It's an independent, but here's the key. The municipality and the people that are domiciled in the District of Columbia are under the plenary power of Congress.
So it's basically Congress's little city.
It is, and they allow the municipal entities to do certain things by ordinances. But Congress, it's no doubt.
And that's why a congressman can't. And that's why a congressman can't be given a traffic ticket. Or a parking ticket. They're exempt.
Well, I don't know about that, but what I can
Pretty
tell
much.
You is if you are in the District of Columbia, you are only a citizen of the United States because that's all that can exist there because it's not one of the several states. And it's under the absolute plenary, which means Congress has absolute control over anybody that's within those territorial things of the District of Columbia. That's a fact. Supreme Court said so more than once, over and over and over. So here's where we start. I'm in a citizen of the United States, conclusively clean, pristine. There's no reside, no resident of a state or nothing. It's absolute. And I am a qualified elector, and it's in the code of D.C. Okay? Next question is, 14th Amendment doesn't apply to me. Supreme Court said so. Because you go look at the 14th Amendment, it has the word state in it. It's about the definition. It's state and state actors. So if state law, if there are discrimination or all that, that's about the, in the several states or the states. Okay, so the 14th Amendment doesn't apply to the citizen of the United States in D.C. The Supreme Court has ruled over and over that as a citizen of the United States in D.C., you have no right to demand an Article III court of law in law and equity. That's a fact. Supreme Court said so. Because that, the limited delegation for the Constitution of the United States is within the several states. It does not apply to the District of Columbia. So you have no right to demand a Article III court with an independent judge in cases in law and equity and exercising judicial power of the United States. Supreme Court has said so over and over. So, I mean, they've been saying that for a long time. Now, that's a citizen of the United States. A citizen of the United States has no protections from taxation without representation. They have no say-so on the taxation without representation because they are not within the several states. Supreme Court has said that like six times. They just keep coming up. The Supreme Court says, did you listen the last time? The Constitution of the United States with the limited delegation of powers in the courts of the United States is in the several states. It does not exist in D.C. Does not exist in the District of Columbia. Now, this is a citizen of the United States. Now, in this act that they're trying to do, it's for citizens of the United States. So now we got a citizen of the United States. Is this true? Yes or no? Okay, it is. It's your damn act. That's what you say so, right? And does a citizen of the United States have protections of taxation without representation? Supreme Court has said they don't. If we're going to believe them, I mean, if you're just going to throw out the Supreme Court and do whatever you want, like you did the last impeachment, it's irrelevant. Supreme Court said so. Do I have right to a constitutional court? Supreme Court said no. You don't. So now my question becomes, if this is true in the District of Columbia, and you are combining your voting thing for a citizen of the United States, the definition of state to include several states and the District of Columbia, if a citizen of the United States, this is true in D.C., has no right to a constitutional Article III court, exercising judicial power of the United States in law and equity, has no protections of taxation without representation. Is it true out here? That's my first question. What do you think, Mark?
Well, no, I would not believe it's true. If that only applies to citizens of the United States that are within the District of Columbia, I would not think that would apply to the several states.
I know, but they're saying their act applies only to citizens of the United States. It's in their act. We got a caller here. Let me get back to that. Just a minute here. I got to get my Skype open here. I don't know what happened to my Skype. I closed it down here. Melissa, got a question or comment on what we're talking about? Hello? Okay, well, Melissa,
no problem, Melissa, if you're listening, yeah, try to call back, Melissa.
Yeah, I didn't see you here. I get wound up, and I had my Skype closed down because I was looking at something else. Okay, you're back online? Go ahead.
No, we're online. She has not called back yet. We're waiting on Melissa to call back. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, the question becomes then, you see, how we get these guys cornered? Their own stuff. Now, it gets worse. They say in this thing, 135 times, it's only for federal offices. And this is the only election that we're going to have. We're going to go to the polls one time in Oklahoma or North Carolina. And it's only, you can only vote for people that hold a federal office. So my question becomes, how do we get public officers of Oklahoma elected? How do we get public officers of North Carolina open? Public officers of Texas open? They're not federal offices. They're supposed to be state offices. Do you see a problem there, Mark?
So what you're saying is that the elections that are being held are strictly at a federal level, right? I mean, these are it's the elections that are being held are done so under federal guidelines.
Oh, mandates.
Did I understand Here's that correctly? Okay.
The only offices we have today are federal. They're not even constitutional to begin with. They're only federal offices, and these states, if you go look at their briefs they were filing against Trump and all this other, nobody brings in the several states. They're always a sovereign state of the United States of America. Wait a minute, what happened to the several states? Where did they go? They're in the Constitution, I think. Last time I checked. It says the Union of States, and it doesn't say sovereign states of the United States of America. You're supposed to be under the laws of the United States. So what they have done, because when they combine the District of Columbia, this is in the National Voter Registration Act, they go out, they say state means, the term state means, in quotation marks, state of the United States. That means the state that's of the United States is subservient underneath, and the District of Columbia. Congress can never legislate anything that has application in the several states at the same time they legislate within the District of Columbia, because those are two totally separate jurisdictions. Totally different. Because the citizens that are outside of D.C. are supposed to be the citizens of the several states. They were not citizens of the United States. I got a Supreme Court case. I talked about this a lot. Virginia said the 13th and the 14th changed nothing about political rights. I even got cases. Supreme Court says, guess what? A citizen of the United States has no political rights. Wait a minute here. This doesn't make any sense, does it? We have civil rights, and we have to have political rights. Political rights is the right of suffrage and the right of the elective franchise. So what's the con? You have the right to vote. Absolutely. 15th Amendment. But the 15th Amendment doesn't say anything. The right to vote means you can't discriminate for the person that shows up to exercise the elective franchise or the right of suffrage. That still sits and is controlled by the several states. And that's a fact. Supreme Court said so. So now we're running into a big problem here. If I send to a senator, a representative, are you a citizen of the United States, yes or no? What are they going to say? Probably yes, right?
Yeah, they would.
Okay, I say, is the only people that are in the District of Columbia citizens of the United States? Says so right here. They're qualified electors. Is that true? Yes or no? What do you think? It's under their thing. Next question is, the citizens of the United States, is it not true that they're under the plenary power of Congress and you're one of those folks? Yes or no? So now the question becomes, if I'm a citizen of the United States out here in the hinterlands, am I under the plenary power of Congress? Yes or no? It's the same citizen of the United States voting according to your act. You don't say there's one citizen of the United States here and one citizen of the United States there. You can't, because that's discrimination. Oh, my God, we can't go there. I'm taking your stuff in the district of D.C. And what applies to that pristine citizen of the United States says, I got no right to a constitutional court. I got no right about voting on taxation without representation. And Congress has plenary power over me. Doesn't that apply to me if I go vote with your bullshit here or BS, right? Yes or no? They don't tell what type of citizen of the United States. Is there more than one? We can't discriminate. You know that now. I love that 14th Amendment. No discrimination, man. Now, what are we going to do, Mark?
I don't know, Ralph. That's why we're on the call.
How are they going to get out of these questions? It's their stuff. They're deemed to know the law. Supreme Court said
the only way they're going to get out of it is just ignore it.
Well, we got to wake people up and ask their senators and representatives. And then I file a court case. If I have the money, somebody funded me the money, I'll file against it. Because I have my status in. I am a citizen of Alaska. And it's been recognized. Even by the Internal Revenue criminals. When they were taking money out for social slavery. These are questions. How does anybody get elected for a state office? Now, 185 ALR, 155, comes right in and says, well, the states could have separate elections. Do they? No. Do they have separate elections for your senators and representatives and your governor of Oklahoma?
No. No, they don't. But well, we do have some elections for like bonds for schools, and sometimes we'll have state questions that don't fall in on a federal election type thing.
Federal can't control. This whole thing is so easy to debunk. You have to lay a legal foundation that can't be denied. And the citizen of the United States is a qualified elector in the District of Columbia. Your bill says citizens of the United States. I read it. I think five places. Are they not the same? Yes or no? We got to start off somewhere, right? If they're the same, they got to be the same where I'm at. And where you're at, those people in D.C., because you've said you're going to include the District of Columbia. And the Supreme Court has said, in D.C., you have some plenary power over citizens of the United States. Is that true, or is the Supreme Court wrong? Yes or no? Well, if I can believe the Supreme Court, if I'm a citizen of the United States out here in Alaska, that means you have plenary power of me. Is that not true?
Yeah, that's true.
So now we bring in a lot of other things that I have. Why, when the Supreme Court has said the sovereignty resides in the people and we do a limited delegation of power through our constitutions, through the state and the federal, why does Ralph, as found in Westlaw, 110 cases, it says, quote, United States of America is a sovereign body politic, end quote. Who's that? They actually file in and they put it, I found 110 cases. I got the court case numbers, I got the parties, the location, everything. The United States of America is a sovereign body politic. How's that going to work? Somebody's got to have the body politic. A citizen of the United States does not. He has no political power at all. Somebody's got to have it, be running this Chi-Com country we're in right now. It's Congress. That make sense?
A little bit.
I mean, somebody's got to have political power.
It's such a game. It's such a game of terminology.
No, but the thing is, you've got to understand. Okay, here we've got to get as simple as I can think it. A citizen of the several states has three things. He has the inalienable rights, natural law. That's in the Declaration of Independence. He has what's called civil rights. That's the right to go sue and be sued anywhere. He has political rights, which he has the right to say, who am I going to put a limited, to enforce the Constitution that I've agreed to abide by over me? There are three things. Does a citizen of the United States have that? No. The first Civil Rights Act was in 1866, 14 Stat 27. It's still in the code today, and it says a citizen of the United States has the same rights as a white citizen? Are you white, Mark? Mark? Hello, Mark?
Yes. Yes, sorry about that. Yes, I believe I'm white.
Well, then how does a citizen of the United States, how can you have the same rights as a white citizen if you already is one? It was made for the Negroes. And it was only civil rights. They didn't give them political rights. They didn't do that until 1870, after they got the 14th in. They said, oh, by the way, the Africans can be naturalized, so then you would have everything. But, of course, nobody wants to talk about that, because that's irrelevant. We're setting up the con, what we think we know. So the citizen has three things: natural rights, which is inalienable rights from the Creator. He has civil rights, and he has political rights. And a citizen of the United States don't have that. Because a citizen of the United States in D.C. has the, Congress has the plenary absolute power over what those people are about in D.C. And that is an undisputable fact. So if a citizen of the United States is in their act, they don't say it's different than a citizen of the United States, different out here. They can't. The only true difference is I have to volunteer on my registration, because there is no qualified electors of citizens of the United States outside of D.C. So those people in D.C. have a different status than a citizen of the United States that's going to be in their thing, because we have to volunteer for it to vote. And the question becomes, what does to vote mean? It means to show up.
Right.
At the building.
Right.
And to cast a vote. But you have to be, and you go into, I'll find 183 here. I'll get a couple of these after the top of the hour. And we're going to read what these are. This is so critical, because we can ask these senators and representatives, if this is true, it has to be true. You're in D.C. and you're deemed to know the law. And if you don't deem to know, what the heck are you doing up there, Bubba? I want an answer. And by the way, if you don't answer, then I am deemed this is your answer. That's a fact. Were you taught this in school?
Oh, no. No.
Neither was I.
No, not anything close to that. Everybody's just a citizen of the United States, and here's how they pass law, and, you know, this is how law's created, going through Congress, going through your House legislative process, and that law applies to you. And you vote for your representatives.
Right, we vote, but we don't understand what the word vote means. Vote is to show up, but the thing is what you are, who is entitled to vote, which is in that box.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.